And health care is one of the regrets, although it didn't sound like it when David Axelrod spoke on Meet the Press yesterday, talking about Obama's health care address that he's going to deliver on Wednesday before a joint session of Congress.
The president set forth principles at the beginning of this discussion, at the beginning of the year, and now all the ideas are on the table, and the president will say, we agree on 80% of this, let's do the final 20%, let's get the job done, and here's how I think we should do it.
It's David Axelrod, White House senior political advisor on NBC's Meet the Press yesterday. Theda Scotchpole rejoins us now, professor of government and sociology at Harvard University, author of Boomerang, Health Reform and the Turn Against Government. And Julie Mason is also with us, White House correspondent for The Washington Examiner. Julie and Theda, thanks for being with us.
Good morning.
Nice to be here.
So, Theda, you say there's some momentum here, and I guess Barack Obama has a chance to increase the pace of that momentum on Wednesday. What does he have to get specific about, Professor Scotchpole?
He needs to be clear with Congress and the public about what the three or four core elements of a doable and significant health reform are at this point. He needs to put down his markers about where he'd like to see the different congressional committees come together and bridge the differences between the House and the Senate in particular.
Julie Mason, what are White House officials saying about what the president is going to do? I was listening very carefully all weekend long, and it seems as though the public option is definitely going to be discussed, but there's clearly going to be some deliberate wiggle room on Wednesday. I don't know if that's what you're hearing.
For sure.
Really?
That public option is definitely on the block. But, I mean, to listen to the White House officials talk about it, they would tell you that Obama's been an incredibly effective steward of this issue all along. But, you know, that's definitely not been the case. As late as Saturday, he still didn't know what he wanted to say about health care. And this late in the process, for him to not know what he wanted to say about health care, that's a very bad sign.
Well, let's talk specifically and sort of structurally about what this means. Theda Scotchpole said at the top of the hour that actually there is some momentum. Three committees have actually dealt with this. The president's going to give a major speech, and you know, getting something as comprehensive as this done in the summer is a low percentage shot anyway. But here's Lamar Alexander talking on Fox News Sunday with Chris Wallace about his assessment of whether the Congress is any good at this sort of big bill kind of thing.
Let's start over and let's focus on cost. Cost to you when you buy your health insurance, cost to the American people for their government.
Basically, Lamar Alexander said, we don't do comprehensive very well. We're seeing it with health care. These 1,000-page bills that try to change complex systems simply don't work. Do you agree with that, Theda?
No, I don't at all. And, frankly, Lamar Alexander is speaking for a party that doesn't want this to work for political reasons. It's, of course, complex. And for reform to work in a case like our health insurance system, several things have to change at once. There has to be some money to pay for the uninsured. There have to be new rules to protect people who already have insurance. And there has to be some decision about how you're going to build more competition and cost control into the system as a whole. We don't know whether it's all going to come together, but it's much closer now than it has been in 100 years. And so it's not rhetoric to say that we're very close. We may not get the final steps, but there's a lot of push behind this. And the Democrats, as in general, even though they disagree on some of the last 20%, they know that if they fail to pass any bill, they're committing political suicide.
I mean, the pressure is really on the Democrats because they have both houses of Congress and the White House. Julie Mason, I heard reports all weekend long that the White House is unilaterally lobbying Olympia Snowe, Republican of Maine, to get a moderate on board to basically up the political momentum here. There still appears to be some contact with Iowa Senator Charles Grassley, who was part of the Gang of Six. I don't even know where the Gang of Six stands at this point. What do you know?
Well, the Gang of Six have sort of lost their effectiveness over the month of August. Problem for Obama is, well, Congress is part of it, but also he's lost public support for this. The more he's talked about health care, the worse the numbers have gotten. So he has to sell not just to Congress, but he has to convince people, too, because Congress isn't going to do something that the people don't want. So that's going to be a tough sell for Obama on Wednesday as well.
Well, let's get an assessment from both of you. Julie, I'll begin with you. Does he have to convince people of something they don't want to do, or simply get rid of the fear that's been just sort of hosed through the system because of this unfortunate town meeting episode that we witnessed all summer long? Julie, you first, and then Theda Scotchpole.
Right, that was tough. I think he has to show a little bit of passion on this issue. He's been dry and a bit professorial. He's got to tell people why they need this. He's got to remind them. He's got to show some fortitude. Like I said, some passion.
Theda Scotchpole, is it about uphill battle convincing, or is it about dispelling fear that's really come into the picture over the summer?
Largely the latter. The president does have to show some passion. He also has to probably give some real-life instances of people, insured and not insured, who will benefit in specific ways from the reforms that are coming together. Let's not overplay the downside here. Most Americans still trust Barack Obama and the Democratic Party more than they trust Republicans on this issue, and people will be paying attention in new ways. A lot of what happened in August was really not engaging most Americans beyond the vociferous opponents of the president. He has a new opportunity here. I don't know whether he'll succeed, and he has to do better than he did before the break, but he's got a real chance.
Is the argument, Professor Scotchpole, that the president has to say why what we do on Medicare will work for the millions of people who are uninsured if he wants a public option? Or does he then, if he backs away from the public option, does he have to explain why he doesn't think what is working for Medicare will work for the uninsured?
Well, the Democrats have been mysteriously unwilling to draw an analogy between the public option and Medicare. I don't understand that myself. But I don't think Barack Obama has to come out and say, I want the public option no matter what. What he has to do is explain why a public option might make a difference for the better for millions of Americans all across the United States. He hasn't done that yet, so he hasn't failed at it. He hasn't done it.
Julie, I'm a little unsure as to what's in the 80% and what's in the 20% that Axelrod is obsessed with here. Obama apparently still is on board with the principle of pre-existing conditions don't deny you insurance under this new reform package. Is that in the 80% or the 20%? And it's expected he will talk about that on Wednesday.
Right, he will. But there's real pushback from the industry on that. They don't want to go along with that. So and if he has to put that on the table to get health care done, that's the thing. They haven't really been clear on what is non-negotiable. You know, it seems with the Obama administration, everything is sort of negotiable. And they've put forth some notions, some principles, but nothing hard and true.
But clear on a takeaway here. You don't necessarily believe that the pre-existing condition principle is in the 80%. That might be in the 20%.
That might be in the 20%.
Yeah, Theda, you think it's in the 80%?
No, I mean, let's be clear here. This isn't a negotiation about whether we're going to have new rules for the insurance industry. That is in all the bills that have come forward so far. Even Republicans aren't going to question that. That's there.
All right, so that's in the 80%. Julie says maybe not in the 80%. This is good stuff, though. This is helpful for me, and if it's helpful for me, you know. What about the mandate? Is the mandate a principle that is in the 20% or in the 80%? Are we agreed on that? Julie, you first, and then Professor
Scotchpole. Well, what exactly do you mean by the mandate?
Well, the idea that you have to get insurance. You have to go out and buy insurance.
Yeah, I think that's probably in the 80%.
That's in the 80%. Would you agree with that, Professor Scotchpole?
You know, I have a slightly different take on that one. I think that, first of all, there are two mandates. One is, do all businesses have to insure employees or contribute to the process with some money? That's one question, the business mandate. That's in the 20%.
Interesting.
The individual mandate is probably on the cusp, because I suspect in the end that the Democrats won't agree to some of these changes if to forcing people to buy insurance if the insurance isn't affordable and subsidized for millions of Americans.
On some level, in the broadest sense, just a few seconds, Julie Mason and Theda Scotchpole, the president really has to take his personal popularity and turn that into a trust in government on something this big on Wednesday, correct? Julie, you first?
True, John, but it's not what it used to be. I mean, over the summer, we've seen Gallup, he's down to 50%.
Theda Scotchpole?
He's back up to 55. And, you know, we really, in the business we're in here, including many professors, we pay way too much attention to these short-term fluctuations.
All right. Theda Scotchpole, professor of government and sociology at Harvard University, author of Boomerang, Health Reform and the Turn Against Government, and Julie Mason, White House correspondent for the Washington Examiner. Your takeaways on what's in the 80% and what's in the 20% on health care.